The interviews and discussions in this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. We have another interesting one today, Indiana Resources. It trades under the code IDA, or India Delta Alpha. It last traded at 7.9 cents for an undiluted market cap of $23 million. Indiana has been creating a bit of a buzz recently in response to some impressive first-up drilling results at its gold project in the central portion of South Australia's Gawler Craton. Most notably at the Minos prospect, where hits like 38 metres at 6.5 grams a tonne gold and 26 metres at 4.2 grams a tonne gold have been reported. Minos sits on a prospective shear zone. Indiana has its foot on a 30-kilometre stretch of this shear zone, which because of sand and calcrete cover has been waiting until now to give up its secrets. So there's a lot to look forward to there. Now, the central Gawler alone goes to supporting Indiana's current market capitalization, but there is also a big backstory to Indiana relating to the appropriation by the Tanzanian government of the 60% owned Nataka Hill sulfide nickel project. It is now the subject of a US $95 million international arbitration claim, the scale of which goes to the $60 million spent by the joint venture over the years, advancing the project to near-term development status with a 360,000 nickel resource under its belt. It can be said that there is little of any value given to Nataka in Indiana's current market value for the potential victory in arbitration, that is. So, i.e., the upside there comes for free. We will get an update on the arbitration and what 2021 holds in store for the Gawler Gold Project in a moment from Indiana's Executive Chair, Bronwyn Barnes. But first, I'll say hi to Bronwyn and welcome her to the podcast. Hi, Bronwyn, and thanks for your time today.
Great to be with you, Barry.
Okay, Bronwyn, first up, can I say well done on pivoting to South Australian gold exploration while the nickel arbitration case runs its course. I've seen other companies wait out arbitration cases and doing nothing else. Now, with the Gawler gold interest, you look to have something exciting on your hands. Let's start there. Tell us about Indiana's arrival there, what the main prospects are at this stage, and what the company's initial drilling program achieved.
Sure, Barry. Look, I think you're spot on there that Indiana moved pretty quickly once we had arbitration on track that, you know, we are a junior explorer and junior exploring exploration companies like to explore, not necessarily do arbitration. So, look, we were pretty keen on securing an asset back in Australia after our experiences in Africa. And we really wanted to be in the gold space. So we were very fortunate to be able to acquire the assets of a private entity, which was a company called Patron Resources. And through that acquisition, which was a complete share-based acquisition, we acquired roughly 2,600 kilometres of ground in the central Gawler Craton. While we were negotiating that transaction with Patron, we also went and pegged an additional 2,500 square kilometres of ground. So by the time we finalised the transaction, we'd secured just on 5,000 square kilometres, which is a significant ground package in the central Gawler Craton and quite strategically located between Tarcoola and Unkillia. So a known gold, gold province.
So the forward program in the Central Gawler, you've reported some exciting drill results today, but I was just wondering what the plan from here is now.
Yeah, look, that last or the first program that we did, which we released the results of in February and March, was an absolutely cracking first pass for us. And it was really a relatively small program. It was only roughly sort of 1,600 metres. That we drilled across 10 holes of one of the project areas within the tenement package called Minos. So, look, you've referenced those gold results. They were amazing for a first-pass drill program, and we're back in the field at the moment. We're about to start another drill campaign at Minos once again that will involve another 2,000-odd metres of RC drilling. We are doing some diamond drilling as well. We're going to extend or put diamond tails on two of the previous RC holes that we did in February and one additional diamond hole. And then we're also doing a 3,500 metre air core program to try and extend the zone at Minos. So there's a significant amount of activity about to roll out in the central Gawler Craton. And at this stage, we look like we're going to be starting our drilling activity next week.
Right. So how are you off for funding in that program?
Look, pretty good at the moment. We've recently just raised $1 million through a private placement that we did, and we did a very small share purchase plan for shareholders as well. So we're sitting on about $1.3 million in the bank, which is certainly enough to do the activity that we have at the moment. The upside that we have in terms of funding is that Indiana has a number of listed options that expire on the 4th of August this year, so only a couple of months for us to wait for those. Those options are in the money at the moment. They have a 3-cent exercise price, and obviously given the current share price of the company, we're pretty confident that the majority of those options will be exercised. And that will bring in another $4.5 million to the company in August. So I think we're pretty well placed at the moment to do this current program. Let's see what the results look like, and let's look forward to that extra kick of cash coming in August.
Mm. Now, the initial focus has been around Minos, but I alluded there to the length of this shear zone there.
Yeah.
So are there other prospects that you're working up along that shear zone at the moment?
Yeah, look, this is part of the air core program that we're looking at doing. So the Minos, so the Lake Labyrinth shear zone hosts a number of prospects, Minos, Ariadne and Partridge. At the moment, we only have land access approvals for Minos, which is why our initial drilling program has focused there. But in the background, we have been working to progress our land access approvals, both with native title parties and with the government, the South Australian government. And we're very much looking forward to being able to expand our exploration efforts out beyond the focus of Minos in the next couple of months. So Minos is the focus for now, and let's get our land access approvals in place, and then let's expand the exploration activity later on in the year.
Mm. Now, quite a few juniors have the Gawler as their main focus, but looking to find the next Olympic dam, drill a hole and hopefully snag something. But you've got a very focused program here on gold, high-grade gold.
Yes. Look, at this stage, very, very focused on high-grade gold. What we are drilling is essentially following up historic results from that region. And as Minos has been our priority area, you know, that's where the attention is at the moment. But look, given the size of the land package that we've got, there is potential for other minerals. But look, at the moment, let's focus on gold. And as we go and expand our exploration efforts in the Gawler Craton, we will be considering the potential for other minerals.
Given the impressive nature of some of those hits, I was just wondering what do you consider the potential for Minos to work up a gold resource of some sort before long?
Oh, look, I think that's very much the focus of the company and very much part of the current drilling program that's being planned for this month. So, look, there is a bit more work that we need to do after this drill program to work it up into a resource, but we would like to move to a resource this year at Minos. I think that would be a really solid signal to the market that we're serious about exploration and that we're focused on delivering results.
Good. Okay. Now, while that pans out in South Australia, give us a bit of a background on the Nakata Hill story.
Look, the arbitration with the government of Tanzania is a really fascinating story, and I'm very keen to make sure that people understand the background and what the likely prospects for success are through that arbitration process. So this dates back to the government of Tanzania changing their mining code in 2017. And at the time when they changed the code, they removed the provision for retention licences, and our Nataka Hill nickel sulphide asset was held under a retention licence. There were promises made by the government at the time that a mining commission would be formed and that parties who had their retention licences revoked would be able to engage with the mining commission to negotiate a new form of tenure. And look, we did engage in that process, and I attended a number of meetings in Tanzania with both the Minister for Mines and the head of the Mining Commission. Unfortunately, in December 2020, The government decided to advertise these assets for sale on their website without providing any advice in advance of that publication to the companies who had had their retention licences cancelled. So that really triggered for us a dispute that then could be addressed through the UK-Tanzanian Bilateral Trade Investment Treaty. So our asset was held in Tanzania through our UK subsidiary that mm-hmm. very much had been set up to take advantage of the benefits of that treaty. So look, we've triggered that dispute. During 2020, the company secured litigation funding. So we do have a $4.56 million litigation funding facility, and that's US dollars. And we've secured that from a very reputable litigation funding firm out of London that's also listed on the stock exchange over there. Now, that money is a drawdown facility that provides for all funding associated with the case for arbitration against Tanzania. So essentially what we have here is a fully de-risked option for shareholders. There's no company money being spent on the legal case at the moment. All our resources are focused on exploration in South Australia. But very much as we move into arbitration with Tanzania and what we believe is a high likelihood of success, you know, shareholders can have the benefit of exposure to a potential compensation claim against the government for $95 million US.
And just to be sure, the litigation funding of $4.65 million.
Yeah,
is that their total fee on success or
no? What that is an agreed funding facility that we draw down on in order to meet the costs associated with our legal advisors and preparing a case for arbitration. In the event of success, we do have an agreed repayment schedule that goes back and on success, then they are entitled to receive a fee that gives them obviously a return on their investment in the litigation funding facility. But what's important to note here is that if we're unsuccessful in our claim, is that we do not have to repay any of that money. So it's a very strong signal from the litigation funder in their belief in the merits of our claim. And with arbitration set to commence on the 22nd of April this month, we're very confident that we're well prepared to commence arbitration.
Right. Any feel at all for how long the arbitration process might take to conclude?
Yes, it's a very defined process and it's run through an organisation called the International Centre for Settlement of Investment Disputes, which is actually a subsidiary of the World Bank. So it's a very transparent process and a very arm's length process, so not controlled by either us as an investor or Tanzania as a host state. Now, the timeline usually takes somewhere between 2 to 3 years. And part of what will happen in the first hearing at arbitration at the end of this month is that the defined timeline will be set and agreed by both parties. Now, once that timeline is set, it is very unusual for it to be extended. And the panel or the arbitration panel that has been appointed and approved by ICSID to manage the case generally tend not to grant extensions to the arbitration timeline. So it's quite a defined and transparent process.
Right, okay. And Tanzania's got a new president, I understand. Any feel that the attitude towards foreign investment might have changed under the new presidency?
Look, we're watching the transition to the new president very closely and we're very encouraged by a number of progressive actions that she seems to have taken quite early on in her term. I think her attitude, particularly towards the management of COVID, which the previous president of Tanzania had been a COVID denier, so it's refreshing to see that this president is taking the management of COVID in country much more seriously. We also understand that she's made a number of changes to ministerial departmental heads and that there's been a refreshing change in attitude towards foreign investors and how they interact on the international stage. Obviously, this is very early days. I think she's only been in the role of president now for 3 weeks, having transitioned from the position of vice president. But we're very much looking forward and to a new set of eyes coming in as the president of Tanzania, and we would strongly welcome a refreshed and a more engaged approach with international investors.
Mm. Previously, I think there was the company also had some exploration interests in Mali.
Yes.
Given what happened there?
Look, we've tended to walk away from Mali at the moment. I think that the challenges that have arisen during COVID made it very difficult to travel to Mali and undertake an ongoing exploration program. The assets are sitting there at the moment, and we are assessing what we might do with them in the future, but they're certainly not a current focus for us in terms of exploration, particularly given the stunning results that we've had out of South Australia, a location much closer to home and a province that we're much more comfortable dealing within.
Mm. So the focus very much on South Australia at the moment, which is about as tier one of mining jurisdiction as you can get.
Yeah, we're very pleased to be in South Australia. I think, our first program was, although we had to manage through a COVID sort of outbreak, which I think will be the new norm for us over the next 12 to 18 months, the ability to deal with the government, the ability to secure contractors and service providers is fantastic. And it's all only 2.5 hours away from Perth, which has been fantastic. But we have set up a team in South Australia, so we do have people on the ground. We're not trying to manage this project from Perth, given, the travel restrictions and complications that have arisen with COVID. So look, we're very focused on being there and being present and being, pretty focused on getting this exploration activity up and running.
Okay. All right, so let's bring it all together then. What should investors be looking out for, say, in the next 12 months from the company?
Look, in the next 3 months in particular, we're going to have a really strong news flow from our exploration activities at Minos. And, the current programs that are rolling out there will keep us certainly busy for at least the next 2 months and see a really strong news flow for the next 3 to 4 months. Towards the end of the year, we would very much like to see those land access approvals in place that would then allow us to expand our exploration activity across the Central Gawler Craton in South Australia, and very much looking at the other prospects that we're very deeply interested in, Double Dutch, Area Dam, Boomerang. There's some really wonderful prospects there that are just begging to have follow-up drilling on them. So that will be our activity on the ground in South Australia. In terms of arbitration, we obviously start arbitration on the 22nd of April. We know then that we need to be providing further documentation to the arbitration panel mid-year. So June, July, we would expect to lodge our first statement of claim to the panel. And then we would expect that panel will continue to review evidence provided to it by both parties over the next 12 months. So we'll be able to provide the market with updates as we go as to how arbitration is progressing.
Right. And normally I start out with this question every time I do a podcast, but for some reason I forgot to do it today. I think it would be a great idea if we could give listeners a bit of just a personal background on yourself, the professional career up until now.
Oh, right, sure. Look, I've been involved in the mining industry for coming up for 25 years. I spent my early days actually at Anaconda with Twiggy Forrest and obviously with a nickel focus, and then, transitioned through a number of roles in the mining sector and ended up at Western Mining, which is another very heavily nickel-focused company. And the birthplace for most managing directors of ASX-listed junior companies, I think. transitioned into BHP after the takeover and was on the executive leadership team of the nickel division. Post that, I went back into junior land and have spent the last 10 years sitting on the boards of junior mining companies, either as an executive or a non-executive. So I was executive chair at Wynnewood Resources, which was taken over by IGO. So Wynnewood had nickel in the Fraser Range. Some of your listeners may remember that transaction. And then last year I was the lead independent director on the board of Mod Resources, which was taken over by Sandfire. So, you know, very strong background in mining, both from an operational perspective, also from a corporate leadership and board perspective.
Lots of common themes there, one of them being, of course, everyone gets taken over.
Well, that's what we like to see.
That's true. Yeah, everything's for sale at the right price. Just on that, unusually, I noticed that we don't see it all that often. You're actually a substantial shareholder in Indiana.
Yes, I am. So, look, in the early days when I joined the board of Indiana, as the non-executive chairman, I came in with a shareholding, and I've continued to grow my shareholding over time. So yes, I am a substantial shareholder in Indiana. I'm very committed to the company. I'm very, very focused on arbitration. That's something that I have been, you know, working on now for nearly 3 years, and I'm very determined to have a successful outcome. But then, of course, you know, acquiring the gold projects in South Australia and building that really strategic land position, this is something that, you know, I'm very, very keen to see as one of the major drivers for company success. Companies that can dominate, you know, strategic land holdings, you know, become very, very interesting to major companies or larger companies. And I think what we have in the central Gawler Craton with the 5,000 square kilometres of ground is something at a future point that may well interest larger companies that are looking to acquire a gold position that is quite significant. So, yeah, there was definitely a strategic element to our acquisition and consolidation of this ground position in South Australia.
Well, as I said earlier, well done on not just focusing on the arbitration, as big as it is and as significant as it is, but pivoting to the Gawler and creating more value for the company going forward.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
So with that, I'll say thanks for your time today, Bronwyn, and good luck with it all.
Great. Thanks a lot, Barry.
Cheers.